where entrepreneurs come to grow. It's Passage to Profit with Richard and Elizabeth Gearhart.
And now, James McCormick with CloudAstructure.com, keeping people safe. I went on your website and it was very cool. It was, really tells the story, but tell our listeners your story.
Sure. A couple things. CloudAstructure is a company that started as a thought, as an idea by our founder and former CEO, Rick Bentley, 20 years ago. And what happened, he calls it the vacuum effect, which I find hilarious. Let me explain. So think back 20 years ago. You know, there wasn't AI. There was basically, you know, the 7-Eleven type, put the videotape in recording system. He had rented a small office space to do work. Somebody stole his laptop. So he marched in the next morning to the property manager, right, and said, hey, can we look at the video of what happened last night so we can see who took my laptop? And they started looking at the footage and there was a big blank spot, like the Nixon tapes, right? And they said, we don't have footage from that time. Turns out the cleaning people unplugged the network video recorder to plug in the vacuum. They had no video footage. That sparked the idea of, gee whiz, what if you could figure out a way to take these images, put them up into the cloud, you know, where they're protected and available 24/7. And that's what they set off doing. Now, unfortunately, cloud wasn't really that big a thing 20 years ago either. Bandwidth wasn't ubiquitous. It was expensive. And, you know, just over time, as bandwidth became more available and there were AI tools, they were able to morph, I guess you would say, the ideas into an actual solution. That's how it all started.
Richard knows all about getting unplugged by the cleaning service.
Yeah. I thought I got to talk about getting unplugged, but it just reminds me of a story I can't resist. We had an employee once, and we noticed that wallets were missing or money was being taken out of purses around the office. And so we set up a laptop across from a purse and then left it unattended and blanked out the screen on the laptop. And we got video of this guy taking money out of a purse. And of course, he was immediately shown the door. But, you know, the surveillance stuff can come in handy, I guess.
But when we first started the firm, when Richard first started, he was in our attic and we had a cleaning service and they came during the day for some reason. And there were outlets all over the place. And for some reason, they decided to unplug the computer.
But anyway, I think this AI is an amazing innovation. And I'm glad you're doing it.
Yeah.
I just think it certainly adds another level of protection for anybody,
yeah,
especially for security. So
can you give us an example?
Sure. One of our main verticals right now, I could take you through a few different use cases, if you will. But one of our main verticals right now, I think we mentioned this, was multifamily housing. Why? In multifamily housing, 85% of property managers report that crime is on the rise. Okay? 85%. So if you have an unsafe environment or it's perceived as unsafe, you're going to have lower occupancy rates, you're going to have unhappy tenants, all that, all those sorts of things. So let's leave aside at the moment the return on investment, the ROI of a solution like ours vis-a-vis traditional security guards. Absolutely no comparison, but that's a different matter. So what is it that property managers are interested in? There's a few things. One, as we talked about, they want the ability for someone or some process to stop threatening activities or bad events to happen before they happen. Mailroom theft, assaults, dog bites, those kinds of things. You know, we talked about the people in the parking garages. Then they also, from a liability standpoint, want to be able to have areas that could be problematic. Think pools, right? People trying to enter pools after hours, there's just a host of liability issues, as well as it being a potential nuisance to other tenants, right? Because people generally aren't in the pool being quiet, right?
One other thing that this brings to mind, I see the security benefits, but I also see, like, hey, you remember that show Person of Interest where the cameras were monitoring like every single person in the country?
Yeah.
And so I mean, what's your take on that? Is there like a privacy issue here that this creates?
I think to your point, people reluctantly are becoming more accepting, if you will, right, of the fact that there are cameras everywhere. I don't know if I shared this statistic, but it is estimated, the Wall Street Journal estimated, there's 1 billion video cameras deployed on a worldwide basis, 1 billion. And those cameras capture 1.44 trillion minutes of video per day. Okay. So you're going to get facial recognition solutions and those sorts of things, right? I mean, the numbers are staggering. Now, our solution, we don't own the data. We don't share the data with anyone. The data is our customers' data. The only thing that we have their permission to use is video of certain threatening events or things happening on the properties so we can continue to refine and train our AI models, okay? Now, where could it be a benefit to our customers? Well, say you've got a tenant that, you know, was a repeat offender, you made them vacate the premises, but they keep coming back and you want to know when that person is potentially back on property, we can absolutely, right, match that person's face and provide alerts if that person crosses a certain zone or perimeter and, you know, notify the property management group or their security people or whatever the case might be. So
we're with James McCormick. He's from Cloudastructure. Richard, what are your thoughts about the whole security privacy thing and what James is up to?
I think a serious kind of question would be, how do you as a company go about trying to protect your kind of intellectual property over this? Because I imagine that the AI processing sophistication of analyzing behavior, human behavior, is going to get relatively commoditized over time and ever more sophisticated. So is it all about your company brand, or how do you go about that?
No, it's about always trying to be ahead of where the competition is going, right? For instance, I was just at a security conference for the day in Las Vegas last week. Lots of people are out there saying, hey, we have, you know, video surveillance and we're using AI to detect threats. Lots of people saying it, but there's key differentiators, Richard. Like, a lot of these companies are just using, for lack of a better phrase, clip art, right? So here's a gun. And they're training their models or using that as a triggering mechanism, no pun intended, for, you know, the models to say, oh my God, here's a threatening activity. But in the real world, in a grainy video at night, AI has difficulty telling the difference between a stapler and a gun. Or are those two people dancing or are they fighting? So, right? So by us using real footage, which are remote guards, right, as part of their activities, or they are tasked with, you know, constantly repopulating images for our models to analyze, by staying ahead of the competition and having a vision of where you want to take things in the future, that's how we think we protect them. That's kind of the moat for us right at the moment.
Yeah, it's going to be rich data sets and an enormous amounts of example or enormous data sets of example incidents, I suppose. A bit like the self-driving car world has just tried to create enormous data sets of every kind of cab crossing to, you know, things falling off vehicles and everything you can imagine. And even still, they're still learning. That's going to be your key USP, I guess.
Well, and the other thing, the other differentiator, which is fairly complicated to do, but much the way that Google has indexed the web, we actually index our videos for our customers so that they can use simple keywords, right? So the property manager comes in the morning and they see that their big gate to the parking garage is smashed and there's blue paint on it, right? They can type in parking garage, this date, blue paint, and up pops the image of Bob driving his pickup into the gate for whatever reason. And now they have the ability to go to Bob and say, you've done it again. You have to pay the $1,500 repair fee. Those sorts of examples as well.
That's a great solution to what do you do with, like you say, trillions of minutes of, or trillions of hours of content, because huge amounts of it where nothing's really happened could just be archived and dumped, right?
Yeah. And we just had our 2025 conference call, and I used those statistics, not just to, you know, the 1.44 trillion minutes, but more from a standpoint of what portion of that video is still being used from a reactive standpoint, not a proactive standpoint. I can't give you the answer, but if you want my guess, I would say 90%, right? Because most people, it's like your house, right? What do security experts say? What's the number one thing if you have an alarm system that helps to deter thieves? The ADT sign that you have in your front yard. Mm-hmm. Not the actual system, but the sign. So I think cameras are so ubiquitous, people go, oh, there's a camera, I'm safe. But we find that that's not necessarily the case. Might be helpful to go back and retrieve historical information, but that's not what we're about.
Didn't you say that you have speakers?
Absolutely. It could work in any application, but today it works incredibly well from a multifamily standpoint. Here's the way it works. The way our software as a service works is we charge a baseline per camera for the 24/7 video surveillance service, okay? Then not every camera is a customer going to want to have it be remote guarded, but high traffic areas, high risk areas, parking garages, entryways, pool areas, those sorts of things. And the cameras that are remote guarded generally have a speaker attached to them, so that if something is identified as potentially threatening, it goes to our humans in the loop. It goes to our remote guards, and they have the ability to actually, I guess you would say, confront people. And it's either, you know, I think we had mentioned this, right? You in the black hoodie with the crowbar in the parking garage, and poof, off they go. But it's also, you would be amazed the number of talk downs we have to do to people in the pool. Yes.
This is fascinating technology, and I love that you're doing this. How do people find you if they want your product or just to see your website even?
Sure. cloudastructure.com. And there's all sorts of great information on the website. There's use cases, videos, you know, explaining some of the things that we just talked about, investor presentations, those sorts of things. And also myself, our CFO, and our Chief Revenue Officer, our CRO, we've started a sequence of our own internal podcast called the AI Perimeter. There's some, you know, where we just talk about real world applications of AI and what trends are looking like, those sorts of things. So that's kind of fun as well, I guess you would say. So cloudastructure.com. If you want to reach me personally, james@cloudastructure.com.
If you enjoyed this episode, subscribe to the podcast and leave a quick review. Also, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and X, and subscribe to our YouTube channel for bonus content.
Learn more at PassageToProfitShow.com.